Those that are listening to us, we invite you to come and join our class today and study the book of Ephesians. Give us a call at 856-261-9018 or questions at bftbc.org. Join us again. Let's begin reading in chapter 2 of Ephesians. And we're going to read one verse that we didn't have before, but we've already covered before, verses 19, 20, and 21. Starting in verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers than foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints, of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, staying together, grows into the holy temple of the Lord. I might as well take 22. In whom we also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. All right, in verse number 19. Now therefore ye, who do ye refer to in this verse? Any hands on that? Ye, yes.
The genuine believers.
Genuine believers. Which kind? Jews or Gentiles?
Jews and Gentiles.
All right, Jews and Gentiles in verse number 19. Ye are no more strangers than foreigners, but what would a stranger and a foreigner be? Yes.
One that wasn't part of the Jewish nation would be considered a stranger. If, for instance, like Ruth was a stranger, or Rahab was a stranger.
Right.
Somebody's reaching out.
Well, these are strangers.
Maybe there's somebody that doesn't know the Lord.
Well, certain people, that's right. There could be, but a lot of times I get these
just
calls.
Just unknown.
Yeah, unknown, that's right.
Is that a stranger or a foreigner?
Well, I don't know. I guess none of these calls are, I don't know. There's just a lot of sales calls on it.
Yeah.
Stranger. No more strangers than foreigners, but fellow citizens with the same. Okay, that's identified. Yes, John, right ahead. Oh, thank you. That's very good. I did forget. Let me see. I got through both these. Let me see.
That one plus
this one here. All right, both are on. Thank you, John. I'm glad you woke up and told me. Okay.
Praise God.
Yes. Strangers no longer, foreigners no longer. Gentiles were strangers to the Lord in the Old Testament, and strangers now, they're joined in Christ. Oh, excuse me, Pastor Dan, I'm sorry.
Yeah, just to make of a note, we've resuming Numbers chapter 30 class tomorrow. Morning. So we'll have to resume Numbers 35.
3 o'clock, Numbers 35. All right, thanks, Pastor.
No, 30. Chapter 30.
Oh, chapter 30, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Chapter 30, it's 3 o'clock, so be sure to listen in. In verse 19, no more strangers. These Gentiles are strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens now with the saints and the household of God. In other words, they're joined with the believing Jews. And both of them are Christians. Then in verse number 20, what are these two Jews and Gentiles built upon? What are they built upon? Any hands on that? Yes, Tammy.
And a foundation set forth by both the apostles and prophets, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone.
Right, so the prophets, the apostles, the New Testament prophets and the old as well as the new. And what does it mean, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone? What would that mean? Any hands on that? Ten?
Holds everything together.
Everything together, all right. And the very foundation, of the whole building, the church, Jew and Gentile together. He is the foundation. And then in verse 21, what is the in whom referred to? In whom? Any hands on that? Yes, Ten?
In the Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ, in whom all the building. Now, what building is that? In verse 21, referring back probably to verse 20, Antoinette?
The body of Christ.
All right, the building and the foundation is mentioned there, the apostles and prophets, and the Lord Jesus being the cornerstone of the building. What does it mean, fitly framed together? Any hands on that? Yes, Antoinette?
Properly,
that's correct. And what is this frame together, what does it mean growing? What is it growing into? Or what should it be growing into? And if acting properly at the internet?
Growing into holiness.
Okay.
You know, holy temple.
Holy temple in the Lord.
And we are the temple of the Lord.
Yes.
We have the Spirit of God.
Is Paul got done? I just remembered. Hello, Paul. Yes, Paul, where are you at?
I think I got it. I was lost here for a while. You know what, that number
21
verse
18,
right?
Well, we finished that
and
Prime
Throne. I told you the wrong
verse. Go ahead and
cross it. Chapter.
We're in chapter 3 now, almost. We're not quite, though. 22. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, I believe it's 26.
Yes.
I'm talking about their
Christian
believers.
Yes.
All right.
Jew and Gentile, all genuine Christians, yes. Okay, thanks, Paul. Appreciate that. Let's wait for Paul over there, Augustine Lane. All right.
Hi, Paul. Hi,
Then, yes, Tammy? Oh.
When you think of a frame of when builders build a frame of a house, thinking even of the roof, you know, they have to connect with nails different pieces or with bolts, you know, before they can put the truss up for the roof. I mean, that's one part of the house. It has to be joined together so that fitly framed together. I mean, we have to be working together. We have to be united. As Christians, in order to be, I mean, this seems like what he's talking about here, in order to actually be that holy temple unto the Lord.
What's the status of churches today? Are they fitly framed together or not?
No.
No.
Mess.
Not too
all
many
the apostate groups, National Council of Churches, World Council of Churches, all the different cults and isms, and all the foreign religions, see? But the churches are not framed together. They're apostatized greatly through the years.
Well, then there are those that are, we don't want to be framed with them. Because
right.
They're not, the churches are going astray. But as far as with the church, if we're talking about individuals that are saved and born again, we need to have a relationship with the individuals in the church, as a church. I mean, the church, not church, as in the body of believers.
Right. It's very important that very few are strong in their faith. Little, and more and more churches that are sound and sane are getting fewer and fewer around the world and different places, but. The church of the Scripture, the message of the Scripture, should be founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ and on His Word, and fitly framed together with the habitation of God through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. Why is that Holy Spirit important in churches? Any hands on that? Why is the Holy Spirit vitally important in local churches? Pastor Dan?
God has to give the direction for the church. I mean, it can't be directed by man, it's going to be directed by God.
And what ministry did the Holy Spirit have in composing the Scripture? What ministry was used by God?
He breathed out the words to the writers.
Okay. And where did he get those words?
From the Lord Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ gave the Holy Spirit the words, who gave them to the writers, and they wrote them down. Directly from the Lord Jesus through the Spirit to the writer. So very important through the Spirit, habitation of God. Yes, Andrew.
It said it's God. This, the word is God breathed, literally.
Yes. And what is the Greek word for that?
Oh, that's a good question.
Theopneustos. Theos is God. Pneustos, the breathe. Theopneustos.
Okay.
Theopneustos is the breathing out of God through the Spirit. All right, any other comments or questions on chapter 2 before we move on to chapter 3? All right, let's read chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3 together. For this cause I call the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote before in few words. Find verse number 1. What was Paul's status when he wrote to the Ephesians? And hands on that.
He was a prisoner.
Prison. What state or group or country was he a prisoner in? Pastor Dan.
Italy.
Rome, Italy.
Yeah, I can't
write
under my breath.
Okay, that's right. Prisoners. Why does he say the prisoner of Jesus Christ? To the Lord Jesus? Lock him up? What does that mean? Any hands on that? Prisoner of Jesus Christ. Bill.
Means he was fully surrendered to Jesus Christ. He was fully surrendered in his faith.
All right.
Jesus Christ.
And for that?
I was going to say that he was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, completely surrendered his life over.
All right, and Anna, then Tammy. Mama, and then brother.
I was going to say, because of Jesus Christ, in other words, because of his witness for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, Anna.
I was going to say that.
Remember the book of Acts. Book of Acts, the apostles warned him, please don't go to Rome. They'll kill you. They'll imprison you. I've got to fulfill my ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ.
They said Jerusalem. Don't go to Jerusalem.
Oh, it's Jerusalem?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Jerusalem. Because they're going to kill you in Jerusalem. They hate you. Anna.
Well, yeah, I was just
going to
point out. It was Jerusalem. Oh.
Because they'll take you to Rome.
That was because he appealed to Caesar.
Because he appealed to Caesar.
Because the Jews wanted to kill him.
Exactly. So, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, in what sense? A prisoner of Jesus Christ. What sense is that acronym?
He represented the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right.
He evangelized, though. He was representing Christ.
He didn't quite.
The gospel.
He preached the Word of God.
Which is wonderful.
Yes. And
even though they
imprisoned him and the Pharisees were against him, he appealed to Caesar and he went to Caesar. Then wasn't he prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles? What does that mean? He has that. Prisoner for you Gentiles.
St. Paul was set aside to minister to the Gentiles because he was a Jew among the Jews.
Mm-hmm. And because of the Gentiles wanted to win the Lord, he became a prisoner. It was God's will. And then, if any of you heard of the dispensation of grace, what does dispensation mean? Mm-hmm. Hands down that. You've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Bill.
It's a period of time.
All right.
It can last, you know, maybe just a few years or a few hundred years.
Mm-hmm.
Present dispensation of grace has been around for over 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm. Anna?
Well, I think maybe also this could refer to, like, how it's being dispensed or distributed. The grace of God is being poured out.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask that?
Yes.
The management of God, how he manages this creation, this world,
mm-hmm.
the different periods of time are different, and that's the dispensation of management.
Mm-hmm. Our church has in its doctrinal statement that we are a dispensational church. How many dispensations do we believe the Bible tells us about? Old and New Testament?
Seven.
Okay, what are the first six? Or first five, I guess. Let's start with the first one.
Innocence.
That's the first one. What's the second one?
Human government.
And what's the fourth one?
Promise.
And what's the fifth one?
Law.
What's the fifth, sixth one?
Grace.
And what's the next one?
Kingdom.
Those are seven dispensations.
But between grace and kingdom is the law again.
Yes, that's right.
For 7 years.
7 years, tribulation period, back into the legal system, the law. So those are the dispensations. Now, all churches don't believe these things. They just, in fact, some of them just simply say the Old Testament, New Testament is an extension of the Old Testament law. I mean, different things. They mess up and mix up a lot of things. And but we believe that we clearly understand now that the ones that are the main ones, the big ones, grace,
law,
and kingdom. Or law, grace, and kingdom, that word. Those are the huge ones. The other ones are smaller, but they're still the way God dealt with his people. In the days of the flood, person, he doesn't want to deal with people in the flood age, but various other than promise, all these other dispensations. But the dispensation here, the grace of God, that's the dispensation we're in right now. Hannah.
But just to be clear, in every dispensation, salvation was always by grace and through faith. It's like trusting the Lord and his word, and not through any works that we have done.
Salvation is still by grace through genuine faith. That's correct. So the grace of God, which is given me to you, Paul had an answer. But he was one of the prominent leaders, it wasn't in the days of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And came out of the law of Moses. And how was he brought into this dispensation of grace? How was Paul brought into this? Any hands on that? What was his office before he became a Christian?
He was a Pharisee.
The Pharisee, a leader of the Jews. Mm-hmm. How did he get to be a Christian? Any hands on that? Bill?
Yeah, he was blinded on the road to Syria. And then he inquired as to what, why he is persecuting Jesus Christ.
That's right. Antoinette?
Oh no, I was thinking Damascus.
Yes.
Tammy, I
was
in Syria.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Hello.
Bill was
in
Syria.
All right, and so he was blinded, as Paul said. Was he ever recovered of his blindness?
Yes.
All right, the Lord recovered him.
Through Ananias.
That's right. And so he became a leader for the Lord Jesus Christ in the dispensation of grace. And how many books did he write? Anything else on that? Roughly, how many books? Pastor Dan?
14.
14 books. I believe Hebrews was written by Paul and all these things. So he's the largest, longest writer.
Although John wrote 20 plus, I guess
it's still
20 plus. But it's still 20 plus 20, so that's 21 plus 22,
43. So John was very fluent, and so is Paul.
It looks competitive. It looks very competitive.
Well,
yes,
yeah, that's 24 and 28, yeah.
Yep.
Chapters.
So, he's the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. So, Paul had a great thing to do with the dispensation of grace, God's grace. Who's the you referred to, you think? Given to you. Any hands on that? That's him?
To the church in Ephesus.
All right.
And by extension to all born-again Christians.
All born-again Christians, right, the church in Ephesus especially. And then in verse number 3, how was the mystery made known to the Ephesian believers? How was the mystery made known? Any hands on that?
Tammy? A revelation.
Others, he didn't just make it up. This is by God's revelation, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, giving all things. Given to me through your word. Who's the you word referred to? Any hands on that? Given to you word.
Well,
we
already did that.
And
we
did
that.
To you?
Yeah, we did that.
Tammy.
Oh, all right.
We're talking about the word revelation in the next verse.
Oh, yeah, we did the Ewer, okay. A revelation, did we mention the Ewer specifically?
Yes.
We did, to those in Ephesus. And by revelation, made known the mystery. What is a mystery? How is the scripture used, the word mystery? Any hands on that? The mystery, Bill.
Yeah, it's something that we don't know, we don't understand until it's given to us in Revelation.
All right.
Or by Revelation.
By Revelation, the mystery, the sacred secret made known. Now, how did these Ephesians know about this mystery in verse number 3? How do they know about the mystery? Tammy?
Well, the Apostle Paul received it, and
right.
He made a note to them.
He doesn't know the mystery. I wrote it for it a few words. So he told about this, and I was mentioning it again another time. Let's read verse number 4, 5, and 6 together. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. By verse number 4, whereby, what does that mean? How does that connect between the previous verse? What does it refer back to? Whereby? The previous verse says, I wrote it for in a few words. Whereby? What does that refer back to?
By a few words.
A few words, that's right. And in those few words, that's where he made known, when you read or when you read, you may understand what?
The knowledge
and the mystery of Christ. So he made a reference in very few words how he knew about the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and understanding the mystery of Christ. Then in verse 5, he explains the background of it and the timing of it. What is the timing of this mystery in verse number 5? What's the timing? Was it always there? Was it different? What does it say in this verse number 5? The hands on that? Yeah, hands on
that? Yeah, it says that which in other ages,
right,
in the past, was not made known
to
the sons of men.
So this was a special revelation that God made beforehand. It wasn't, but now it's revealed under the only holy apostles, and who else? Then the prophets. And by what means?
By the Holy Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit. He's the one that revealed that. And it's not in the other ages, but something new, brand new. The New Testament is not the same as the Old Testament at all. And then in verse number 6, what is the mystery that is now revealed in verse number 6? Yes, Tammy, and then Antoinette.
The Gentiles would be fellow heirs. They would be a part of that same body
with
the Jewish people that believed.
Antoinette?
Oh, I was going to say the same thing, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel.
All right.
So it's beautiful the way that's written.
Yes, yes, it is beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Gentiles be fellow heirs, joined in with the Jews, just two different, completely different nations or nationalities or groups or whatever. And it says in the same body, and the Jew Gentile, the same body, the body of Christ. Now, what is the means that this is joined together, and how would you define that means? The hands on that. What means are these two bodies, Jew and Gentile, made one and joined? By what means? Yeah, Tammy?
Through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But what else in verse number 6 together? That's true.
By the promise of Christ.
How would you define the gospel? Some people don't understand what the gospel is. What is it? You want to define it this way?
Jesus Christ came. He left heaven.
Okay.
He became poor that we may become rich. He died on the cross for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
He loved us so much that he wanted to, you know, but there had to be a sacrifice, and he left heaven to go to earth to become that living sacrifice for our sakes, that we could have relationship with the Heavenly Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
That's all part of it.
And
what else?
We have to accept the fact that we are sinners and we can get saved through the Lord Jesus Christ's blood on the cross and accept Him as our Lord and Savior, and then we receive His Holy Spirit. And basically, that's the best life, and that's the gospel.
What does gospel mean, Kelly?
Good news.
Good news.
Yeah,
that pretty well covers it. A lot of people don't cover what the gospel is. It's true Christ died for our sins, but it's also true that we must accept and trust Him. In order to do that, we must realize we're sinners, otherwise we don't need the Savior. Various other things, and then we can have the good news unites Jew and Gentile. That's what it says, exactly what it says. It's by the gospel. That's in verse 6. All right, then let's read verses 7, 8, and 9 together. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should reach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Questions at BATBC.org. We haven't heard from any tonight. We've heard some. Give us a call at 856-261-9018 or give us an email. Questions at BATBC.org. So in verse number, we read 7, 8, and 9, didn't we, the last one?
Yes.
All right. Now, was this word in verse 7, whereof? What does that go back to? Whereof? What is it?
Goes back to the gospel.
Yes, the gospel, promise of Christ by the gospel. Whereof, that gospel, I was made a minister. In what sense was he made a minister?
He's made a minister of the gospel.
Minister of the gospel.
That was what the Lord told him on the road to Damascus.
Road to Damascus or Syria? Or
actually...
Whatever.
Actually, it was probably after his eyes were open.
After his eyes were open.
The Lord taught him that.
Yes. So, this whereof, the gospel, whereof he was made a minister. To all present-day pastors here this scripture around the world, minister the proper gospel as Paul was ministering?
No.
Why not?
They have ulterior motives. They don't have maybe Christ. They don't have a true, genuine relationship with Christ, but they like the idea of preaching or teaching, so they study the Bible, but they might not even be saved.
Right. What do they all understand what the gospel is according to the Bible? Do all the pastors know that?
No.
Do they all believe it?
No.
No. They don't believe that all people are sinners, some of them. And they're going to go to hell if they don't accept Christ as Savior. Various things, but it's very clear where Paul was made a minister of this gospel. I kind of said Paul first. Yes, Paul, right ahead.
Yes, I believe in number 7, chapter 3, where he says, Jesus said, where a lot is made a minister, I believe he was going to go out.
Right. Okay, thanks, Paul. Let's wave to Paul. That's the only back in there. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Nice to hear from you, Paul.
Yes, and Elaine. Paul and Elaine.
Paul and Elaine.
Yes, that's right. So they made it, whereunto, where I was in a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God. How was Paul equipped for the ministry and for the gospel preaching? Bill.
He was taught personally by Jesus Christ in this.
Yes. For how many years?
3 years.
3 years, the backside of the desert. He was taught just like the disciples.
One-on-one. He had the advantage over the other apostles.
That's right. We don't know the details, but we're told that very clearly. He's made aware of the Word of God and gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of His power. Who's the His referred to? His power.
Lord Jesus Christ.
And what does effectual mean?
Effective.
Effective and proper and good and all different phases. And so he wasn't given the gift of grace of God just by little teensy bits, but by the effectual, thorough working of his power. And it took 3 years for that. Paul was a student of the Lord Jesus for 3 years in the backside of the desert. Then in verse, we read 8, didn't we?
Yes.
Yes. Now, what does Paul say of himself in verse 8? What does he say of himself? Any hands on that?
Well,
And Fanette?
He's very humble because he says he's the less than the least of all saints.
Now, that is humility.
Yeah, he's humble.
Yes.
Which is
in actuality.
He's
one of the greatest servants. But he says he's less than the least.
Well, I think perhaps he was still thinking about, he could have still been thinking about how he persecuted, you know, the Christians.
Yes.
Before he was saved.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what he was, perhaps he was still contemplating that.
Mm-hmm.
Sense.
Where was he leading in the persecution of Christians? What were his actions on that occasion? They had done that?
He was going to go to Damascus to the synagogue and
find
anyone who was part of the way, referring to any born-again Christians, and bring them back to Jerusalem and put them in prison
and
kill them.
Was he present at any assassination? Yeah, Bill.
Stephen.
What was his part in the assassination of Stephen?
He was in charge.
He was in charge. How do we know that?
That everyone laid their cloaks at his feet.
Laid the cloaks at the feet of Saul. So he was one of the ones that were the headmaster. He was the headmaster of that persecution and assassination.
He was a very spirit-filled deacon. He was one of the first seven that were chosen.
Yes, right. He certainly was.
Serve the widows.
Mm-hmm. Help the widows in chapter 7, is it? 7 of the book of Acts.
I think it's seven. It might be five when they were chosen.
Maybe.
And it could be seven when he gave his last.
That's true. And Paul was part of that assassination. And that was chapter 6 or 7. See, where was he killed? What part of the book of Acts?
I think it's chapter 7.
Chapter 7. Yes. And Paul became a Christian, what is it, chapter 9?
Yes.
So two chapters later, he became one of the Lord Jesus Christ's followers, and that he just slain one of the most important people, Stephen, before two chapters ahead. So that was at least of all the saints. Oh, I'm sorry, back to that.
Acts 8:1, when Saul was consenting unto his death.
Yes.
At the time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles.
All right, that's very good.
His death was the end of chapter 7.
Yes, it was.
Well, I'm going to stop right here at verse 8, and we'll pick up verse 8, Lord willing, next Thursday. But are there any other comments or questions you might have before we report? If not, Dr. Dan, would you close in word?